Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm not sure which one to focus on because Christmas was just yesterday and this is our very, very last Sunday for the year 2021. And I want you to go to Titus chapter 2, okay? Titus chapter 2. And I was just talking to Amber. I saw it's kind of interesting the way God mapped out everything for your church, for here community. And I can almost say for our church because I still feel a major part. But if you think about it, this year, 2021, started with a pastor named Rand. And it ended with a guy named McNally. Rand McNally? Isn't that some kind of a map? Okay, now that's pretty good. So God had everything orchestrated and all mapped out to be able to bring in Chris here in just a couple weeks. And I really, really am excited for you. And so what will constitute this coming year having a strong church? Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Speak thou the things which shall become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, and the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And then it continues on showing how that the aged men and the aged women impact all the younger ones in the church. What is old? What is old? Cade, is your mom and dad old? Be careful. He goes, no, not at all, okay? Nancy, is your husband old? Be careful. And I picked on JR, obviously. We all, at different levels of life, feel old or feel younger. Now, I have to admit, since I left you guys in June, what happened was I had a birthday in September. And birthdays have never bothered me. I mean, even like when I was 49, I never turned 50. I turned 40-10 and then 40-11 and so forth. But this last one was the one that they call Medicare, okay? It's like 65. There's something about the 65th birthday that just, wow, that's just for old people, if you know what I mean, okay? Most kids, they do, they think, basically, they think if you're 30, you need to get free coffee at McDonald's. And that's just kind of how life is. So when the Bible talks here about aged men and aged women, how do you know when you're old? How do you know? When you reach down to fix the wrinkles in your socks and realize you don't have any socks on, you're getting old, okay? Or when your back goes out more than you do, or you have two options where you can go out with two different people, so you figure out which one will get you home the earliest, and you pick that one. When it takes twice as long to look half as good, then you know that you're getting old. But obviously, the age here we're talking about, when it describes these people here in Titus 2, I just kind of wrote down, I took everything it mentioned about the aged men, sober, grave, temperate, and so forth. Let me just read it so I don't mess it up. A handsome picture of the Word of God in action is a group picture of elderly men who for years have sought God with their whole hearts. These men are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're sensible gentlemen who are known, or not known, excuse me, for their extremes, but for their balance. They are dignified gentlemen who are worthy of respect because of their obvious discernment and discretion. They are men who are known for their strong self-control and disciplined lives. Although their physical health may be weakening, their faith and trust in God's total control, their apparent love for God and others, and their incredible endurance are more healthy than ever. The aged men. Now, what about the aged ladies? A beautiful picture of God's word in action, once again, is the elderly women in a church who are known for their conspicuous, holy behavior. These ladies refuse to be known as gossips, and have become faithful, dedicated teachers in everyday life situations. Over a cup of tea, they encourage a new generation of girls to love their husbands and their children without expecting anything in return. A day shopping at the outlet malls becomes a classroom where advanced courses in self-control and purity and kindness and unpopular and misunderstood submission are taught. These elderly saints love God and His Word so much that they pour their lives into active moms and young brides, encouraging them to live God's way so that no one can call God's truth foolish, outdated, or worthless. So, aged men, aged ladies. How many of you have been saved for at least 20 years? Let me see your hands up high, okay? That is the majority of everybody in here, okay? And I am so excited about the weeks to come. JR knows that I have texted him, and how's it going with this one? I've been praying all the way through that God would just give you wisdom, and he has. Obviously, in the years to come, we'll be excited about what God's going to do here. But there is a possibility that you get Chris, Pastor Chris, to come in, and all of a sudden you go, oh, sweet. We got a young couple here. They're going to take over, and they're going to accomplish everything for us. And almost forget that you are a church family, made up of young and made up of old, okay? So when you think about principles for people who have had way too many birthdays, what do you do? Four simple or five simple thoughts, okay? Turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Luke 9, 62. No matter how much we have plowed in the past, we have to keep looking ahead or we're going to mess up. We'll read the verse, Luke 9, 62. Jesus said to them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege to plow. I actually plowed snow for about an hour and a half this morning at camp from 5 to 6:30 before we hit the road and came over. I have had the privilege to plow in an open field. And I don't know if you could probably liken it unto mowing a lawn. If you look ahead and fix right ahead on something, you can get a very, very good straight line. But if you're driving ahead and you keep looking back, what's going to happen? Okay? It's going to look like, well, I was going to say it looks like you're drunk, but I shouldn't say that. But anyway, it's going to look like you're just weaving back and forth all the way down the line. And sometimes in life, we keep looking back at maybe what we have done 15, 20, 25 years ago. And we think of all the accomplishments we did for God. And you keep looking back, things aren't going to go in a straight line. No matter how much we have plowed in the past, we have to keep looking ahead. Or I promise you're going to mess up. And we're going to see at the end of this message, the very end of Titus chapter 2, it gives us the true motivation on how we don't look to the past, but we do in a way, and how we must concentrate on the present, but also keep a look on the future. So I really encourage us all, how is God going to use you this next year, 2022, to truly, truly have an impact on this church? What friends do you need to invite? What neighbors do you need to pray for? Who do you need to reach out to just to love on them and introduce them to your new pastor? No matter how much we plowed in the past, we got to keep looking ahead. Number two, look at Philippians chapter 3. Go to Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, 12. Here's the principle. No matter how Christ-like we have become, we have not arrived to genuine Christ-likeness yet. Paul said in Philippians 3, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if I might apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let me read it to you in the ESV. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to, get this, make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. And that maturity could be both spiritual or it could be physical. And once you've got a lot of years that you've been saved, no matter how Christ-like we have become, we have not arrived to genuine Christ-likeness yet. I was preaching in Illinois, and I remember while I was preaching, I gave an invitation. And during the invitation, an older guy got up, and he made his way all the way down. It took him a long time. He couldn't kneel because he was too elderly, but he sat right in the front, and he just sat there and cried. So I went down and knelt in front of him, and I said, sir, can I help you? And he goes, I know I'm old. He is 92. I've just got to change. And I don't know if any of us have got to the point where we think, maybe we've kind of arrived. And maybe we're striving to be more like Jesus every day. But folks, if we ever think that we have made it, then we're mistaken. My personal goal in life, what gets me up in the morning, my ownership of my mature growing in Christ, it can't be something that I just give to the pastor, okay? It's part of it. But we have to be self-feeders too. I think I shared Cade with you teens one time and what it was like in the Bible times. They didn't have Gerbers. They didn't have baby food. Did you know how they fed babies? Mom chewed it up, took it out of her mouth and stuck it into the mouth. Could you imagine? I mean, could you imagine if we still ate that way today, you know? Like, hey, what's for supper? Well, we're going to go to Outback. Well, I'm going to go to Outback. And how do you like your steak? Medium rare? Okay. And she brings it home all spit out in one of those styrofoam things. It'd be kind of gross, you know? And there is something about being fed. And you will come here. And I do. I trust that in months and years to come, your new pastor will feed you. But you got to learn to feed yourself, too. You have to get up early in the morning. You have to make it your own. And you can't blame your spiritual maturity on any outside leader there because it's still your responsibility. In one way, it's kind of like you get fed really, really good at home. And then you come to church to get the dessert, okay? I know for years, I used to like to get up an extra hour on Sunday morning. So I have an extra hour. This is before I was pastoring or preaching. And I wanted that extra hour. Amber and I, we were in charge of the music at Bethany Baptist Church for about 10 years. And people say, why an hour? I mean, you're going to Sunday school and you're going to church. You're already getting like lots of Bible. For me, when I got up that extra hour on Sunday morning and spent it with the Lord, by the time I got to church, I couldn't wait to learn more. Because the appetite was already there. So I encourage you, no matter how Christ-like we have become, we have not arrived to genuine Christ-likeness next. Number three, go back to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18:1. And once again, these are principles for people who have had too many birthdays, okay? No matter how weary you have become in the past, if you have the strength to breathe, you have the strength to pray. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to, say the next word, faint. To faint means to lose heart, to lose courage, to throw in the towel, to lose your drive, to lose your determination, to kind of give up. What does it take for us to give up on our prayer life? What does it take for us to give up on our devotional life? For many, especially younger ones, what does it take to give up on your thought life? What is your default setting when you hear something tragic, something terrible? What is the first thing you do? Who is the first person you run to? When you think about that, that's who you trust the most. So when something difficult comes in life, what do you do instead of praying? Do you worry? Do you fret? Do you grab your computer and tell all your friends on Facebook and Instagram, here's the problem we're having, what do you think? Or do you turn the computer off and shut your Bible and close your eyes and run to God? Have you ever prayed, Lord, this is going to be tough, and I promise you, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to blow it. I need you. I can't do this in my own strength. I need you. What do we do instead of praying? Do we complain? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? It's not fair. I know others that they don't have to go through anything hard. What do we do instead of praying? Do we talk to everybody else about our problem except God? No matter how weary you become in the past, if you have the strength to breathe, you have the strength to pray. And these two principles are as simple as it can be. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Here's another one. Go quickly to Acts 4. There's only 27 of these, okay? I'm kidding. Acts 4, verse 18. Reading verses 18, 19, and 20. This is just exciting what Peter and John did. And they were commanded not to witness, commanded not to talk about Jesus, commanded not to do anything that God wanted them to do. And I like their response. Acts 4:18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Could you imagine? It could come right here in America that someday somebody will say, don't you ever mention the name of Jesus, and don't you even begin to try to witness to your friends. We're not there yet. We're thankful for that. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken or listen unto you more than unto God, you can judge that. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. No matter how many generations we have passed, we still have peers that need to hear about Christ from their own peers. No matter how many generations, how many decades that you have been alive, and some of you are still in your first decade and second decade, and some of you are probably in your eighth, okay? No matter how many, you still have peers. And those that are 70 years of age, as much as the kids would love to talk to them about the Lord, they'll think, what do they know? They're just kids. But a committed, consistent, godly life will even make your peers, your friends, think, wow, there's something different about them. Amber and I have dear friends that live in Walpole. And as far as we know, at least he's not a believer. Mid to late 70s. He came to visit us this week and to visit Amber's mother lives with us. And I was shocked. And even though I had given him a Bible to read, and he would say he would read it, and we've talked about the Lord, he was getting ready to go, and he looked at us, and he said, hey, would you pray? And every time they come, we have a meal together. This time, we didn't have a meal together. And every time they come, I always pray. And whenever you pray and you have unseen people, what do? You make sure you get the gospel in. Lord, we thank you for today. Oh, and we thank you for Jesus coming and living for us and dying for us and raising. You pray all the gospel in that, you know. But he asked us to pray. And there's a high respect there. And I dare say that some of you have some elderly friends that still need Jesus. And honestly, any of us, when we get towards the end of life and you're laying in that bed at night and you're wondering, is this the night I'm going to die? You're going to think about eternity. And your mind's going to immediately go to somebody that you can trust, okay? Be that person that you can trust. I got a buddy that lives not far from camp. He's 84, 85. I think he's on his fifth wife. He taught sailors how to curse. Calls me the Reverend. Gives me a big hug and offers me a beer every time I see him, okay? I take the hug, but not the beer. My prayer is that when he gets to that place where he knows he's going to die, that he'll turn to his wife and say, get Rand, you need to call the Reverend. So at least you have befriended and loved them. And you say, but Rand, they act like they don't even care. Well, we don't know what's going on in their hearts. So no matter how many generations we have passed, we still have peers that need to hear about Christ from their peers. And it can be as simple as this. Hey, can I pray for you? That's it. Just ask people, hey, what can I pray about for you? I do it all the time in restaurants. They'll look at me. They think I'm a priest or something. They go, oh, you want to pray? I'll pray for you, whatever you want. And just that simple question means that you really, really care. One more. No matter how many hours we have served, we are still called to be servants and should never, ever quit serving. Go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. No matter how many hours we have served, we are still called to be servants and should never quit serving. You know, we got this idea that when you've given your life to God and then you get up in years, you look down at those really, really young people who think they're really, really old because they're like 36, you know, and no matter how many hours we have served, we're still called to be servants. Let us not be weary in well-doing. This is God asking Paul to write this down for us. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap. What? If we don't quit, if we faint not. And what does God kind of promise? Let me read three verses for you, okay? And you're going to notice, I'm going to ask you when I'm done reading these verses, what word is repeated in all three verses? Ready? Isaiah 26, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 35, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. What word have I said? Everlasting strength, everlasting joy, everlasting love. How long does everlasting last? Forever and ever and ever. God never gets weary. God never quits giving us love. He never quits giving us strength. He never quits giving us joy, folks. Ever. Ever. So if we get focusing because the aches and pains are much more prevalent, and because we know our pharmacist on a first name basis, and because when we reach down to tie our shoe, we look around and see what else is down there because we know it's so hard to get down there and get back up. When we get to the place that even you feel a little bit old, no matter how many hours you have served in the past, don't quit serving. Keep serving. Now let's go back to Titus. We're going to look at the end of the chapter. Three of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Two nights ago, Amber and I watched, it's Christmas time, and I'm thankful I don't have a wife that forces me to watch the Hallmark movies because they're so cheesy. Anyway, we did watch a Christmas special. It's called The Man Who Invented Christmas, and it's about Charles Dickens and writing of the Christmas Carol. It's very well done. If you remember in the Christmas Carol, there were three ghosts. There was a ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present, and I guess you would say the ghost of Christmas future. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. My question is, what motivates you young ones to get out of bed in the morning? And for you that are older, what motivates you to get those creaky bones up every single day? What drives you? What is it that just inspires us to keep focusing on serving God and living for God? What is it? It should be threefold. Verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. I know I told you probably 1,000 times while I was here, thank God for saving you every single day of your life. Every day, Lord, thank you for saving me. I don't deserve salvation. Oh, I'm such a mess, but you saved me. And one of the greatest motivations in life is simply thanking God for saving you. Remember the book of Romans, chapter 1, 2, and 3, man ruined his life with sin. Chapters 4 through 11, God's remedy is Jesus. Chapter 12 through 16, how can I spend the rest of my life thanking God for what he has done for me? The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Do you remember the day you trusted Christ? Well, live your life saying thank you every single day. Look at verse 12. This is the present, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, right now in this present world. Now, he just described in chapter 2, verses 1 through about verse 6, how that the old men, the old ladies, the young men, the young ladies should live soberly and righteously. But now he puts it all together. It is the grace of God that teaches us to live this way right now, today. So how can you be godly tomorrow? How can you be a godly son, godly wife, godly husband, godly grandparent? Tomorrow. Don't think about the past on this one. Be thankful for the past that you were saved. What motivates you just to be godly, okay? But then look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the future. My salvation, Lord, thank you for saving me. How can I live for you today? Lord, are you going to come today? I got up real early yesterday. Yesterday was a special day, wasn't it? We call it Christmas. And my desire was this. I'm sitting next to my wood stove. I had my Bible open, good cup of coffee, a pour over. It was a perfect morning, you know? And this is, I said, Lord, you know what I wish I could pray today? Lord, thank you for coming in prayer. And the very next second, Lord, thank you for coming in person. Because I was hoping he was going to come yesterday. Now, as you know, I would tell you many, many times, I think the Lord's going to come back this year, okay? Because I knew he didn't want me to go on Medicare, but I already did that one. But I want to share one Bible truth with you. Now, I say Bible truth. You smile with me. I want you to go to the last book of the Bible. And that book is what? And then I want you to go to the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, chapter 22. And then we're going to read the last two verses of the last chapter of the last book, excuse me, of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Last two verses of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. But look what God did. Look to the left of those verses. Look to the left of them. There's two little numbers there. Can you say them in order? 20, 21. Say it with me. 20, 21. So we got five more days before the Lord's going to come back. I'm holding on to the 20, 21. And if he doesn't, I have to come up with a new one for the 2022, okay? You say, are you crazy? Yeah, I am. Do I want the Lord to come back? I really, really do. But I'm not even looking for a rescue. Folks, I love what I do. Do you realize in the last month, I've been in Tucson, I've been in Des Moines, I've been in Indianapolis twice, and I get to share the wonderful gospel and get to go around and just give churches a spiritual hug and let them know that they can be conservative and still be loving, okay? That they don't have to have an attitude towards everybody else. I get to do this. And then summertime comes and I get to spend time with all those kids and the staff. I love what I do. But I really would rather do it in like a different situation. Could you imagine doing the same thing, loving people and telling them how wonderful God is? In an atmosphere with no sin. Because the day is quickly coming when this world will be no more. The devil will be locked away and this old flesh will be gone because it will be a new uncorruptible. The world, the flesh, and the devil will be gone. And those are the three things that cause us to sin. We won't even want to sin. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No jealousies, no bitterness, no comparisons, no injustice, no hate, no bitterness. This is the eternity. In fact, everything that the world is crying for, God already promises in the new world to come. And that's why I hope the Community Baptist Church right here in Rochester shares this wonderful message to all these folks that live next door and down the street. And that this coming year will be the greatest spiritual year you guys have ever had. God protected you well. It's not fun to be without a pastor, okay? But God did. He had everything mapped out with his Rand McNally map, everything set up. So my prayer for you guys this coming year will be the greatest year. But get behind your pastor, feed yourself, let him feed you, serve him, and see how God can use you, okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we know that you kind of emphasize the aged men, the aged ladies, and there's a lot of young people here too. But Father, I pray that in our hearts, young or old, as we approach this new year, that none of us would ever quit or get weary or faint. None of us would throw in the towel or stop feeding and stop praying. Father, you put your hand of blessing and you would just remind us we're saved. And we want to be thankful for that. Father, you give us your grace so we can learn to be more Christ-like and more godly. And then we do. We look forward to doing everything we can because we know that you're coming soon. And we do thank you for that also. We look forward to that day. And maybe it will be yet this year, Father. I know that would be so wonderful for so many. So Lord, just please, kind of like you did with Job, put a hedge of protection around this church and use it to glorify your name as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.